What is the Great Lakes Basin Railroad and why should I care?
The Great Lakes Basin Railroad is a proposed railway that, if you live in northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, or northwest Indiana, you've either never heard of or you've spent a lot of time over the past year learning about it. Here's a map of the region. Now grab a marker. We're going to start near the town of Panola, Indiana, about 30 miles east of Gary. Got that? Okay. Now curve down toward Lowell, Indiana. Keep going, crossing the Illinois border right about where Will and Kankakee counties meet. Keep curving west. No, don't go into Will County. Now sweep up through Grundy County, cross the Illinois River, upward through LaSalle. Keep moving, cross I-88, I-39. Now cut a little west once you get past the Rochelle Rail Hub. Head up toward the Rockford Airport, cross the Rock River, circle a little west of Rockford, up through Winnebago County, and start beelining for the Wisconsin border. Enter west of Beloit, start curving north and east. Now you'll cross I-90, then just start heading straight north. Keep going, and stop. That's the end of the line, east of Milton, Wisconsin. So we really just drew a big ring around the Chicago area, way outside of Chicago. And the reason this rail runs so far beyond the Chicago suburbs is to avoid traffic. That's the point. The Great Lakes Basin Railroad would route traffic around Chicago area congestion while creating connections for other railroads that want to move faster within the region. This is not about commuter rail. Oh, and there would be a 15,000-acre rail port near Manteno, not that far from the proposed third Chicago airport in Piatone.
Now that we know what the map looks like, who's behind it?
It's the brainchild and dream of Frank Patton. He lives in Will County. He's a former computer programmer and founded a software company serving the financial industry. The Great Lakes Basin Railroad started as an idea to run a toll railway along the proposed Illiana Expressway, which was supposed to relieve highway congestion. Well, the Illiana was eventually tabled, and Patton started looking at other ways to relieve rail backups in Chicago. He founded Great Lakes Basin Transportation 5 years ago. He partnered with Jim Wilson, who has experience in operations for Santa Fe Railroad. What they've come up with is this 260-mile, $8 billion project. They want to reduce freight rail travel time in the Chicago area from an average of 30 hours to 8. Here's Frank Patton.
This is a plan that, according to the people who understand the process and what could end up after it's built, that could have a huge impact on the economy of the region, on successive generations.
$8 billion? Who's going to pay for this project?
Patton says it's privately funded. He won't say who the investors are and that he can't because he has non-disclosure agreements with them. The company insists taxpayers won't get stuck paying for anything.
This is the third iteration of this route. How was it chosen and why the changes?
Patton says there are three criteria for the route. It can't cross through heavily populated areas. There has to be a connection with the tracks belonging to all six of the major rail companies going in and out of Chicago. And they need to stay away from wetlands. The problem is, there are a lot of obstacles along the way. Wetlands, cemeteries, four major rivers, and a lot of angry farmers. Here's a taste of one of a number of public meetings that were held over the past year. Frank Patton hosted a Q&A at Morris High School in Grundy County in May.
Groups have asked if the railroad will disrupt the drainage, drain tiles, irrigation systems, and flow of water on individual parcels of land or disrupt floodplains. And the answer is no.
Opposition from town governments and homeowners along a route that would have entered Wisconsin east of Rockford from Boone County helped push the GLBR onto a new path in September. The current route, any route, would need a lot of fine-tuning before this thing gets built.
So there's a lot of opposition?
Oh, yeah. Rock Against the Rail, Block GLB, Railed, Citizens Against the GLB Railroad. Thousands of pretty well-organized people have planted signs in their yards. They've called their congressmen, they've shared endless amounts of information on social media, and most importantly, they've filed their comments objecting to the project with the Surface Transportation Board.
Okay, what's that?
Well, the STB, as we call it, is part of the Federal Transportation Department, and it oversees railroads. It's in the process of preparing a review of the environmental impact of this project. It takes about 2 years. They've held public meetings and have gathered thousands of comments from the public, businesses, organizations, and governments on their website. They're pretty fascinating, and they're available for everyone to see on the STB website.
What's in it for landowners?
Well, they will get $20,000 an acre, according to Patton. But you have to realize their land would be purchased in strips 200 feet wide, so they'll have to do some serious math to figure out how much they'd get for selling their land. And if they refuse to sell, there's a chance they'd get a lot less for it after the legal process. And in this region, land outside heavily populated areas is very often farmland. Farmers don't appreciate being told their livelihoods are less important than others. And that's one reason the state farm bureaus object. Some farms would be bisected. Barb Beeler owns a farm near Beloit, Wisconsin. She has a little restaurant where she serves her farm-raised meats.
It's frustrating because you don't know, and you're going to have to sit for 2 years and wonder, am I going to have a train in my backyard?
So what's also in it for the farmers? Frank Patton has promised free electricity to homeowners along the route and the potential for personal rail access, and that might be appealing to businesses or very large farms.
Wait, free electricity? How?
Well, the company isn't saying how or why, just that it will supply free electricity to the landowners and their immediate heirs to one home on land connected to the right-of-way. Now, as you can imagine, opponents are skeptical, and it also spurs speculation that the company wants these 200-foot-wide right-of-ways for more than a train. Opponents want to know if the land they sell will be used for other purposes, like power lines or oil and gas pipelines.
Why not use existing rail lines? I mean, it seems like there are tracks everywhere.
The company says using existing 19th-century railroad beds would route their railroad through population centers, and that defeats the purpose. There's an alternative that opponents of this project point to. It's an organization called CREATE. That's a coalition started in 2003. It's the U.S. and Illinois Departments of Transportation, the City of Chicago, regional passenger rail lines, and national freight rail companies. And they're spending billions improving existing rail corridors and the crossings to speed up freight and passenger rail. Supporters of the Great Lakes Basin Railroad say their project will enhance CREATE's efforts.
What's next?
The public comment period ended in June, but the most recent route changes were announced in September. Now, people can still send their comments to the Surface Transportation Board. The board's Office of Environmental Analysis is reviewing the project. Meanwhile, Great Lakes Basin Transportation wants to suspend the environmental review so it can focus on its entire application. They plan to file their application to build the railroad sometime next year, and they want to start building it in 2018. Meanwhile, opponents are asking the government to hold more public meetings because of that route change. Better put a cap on that marker. We might need it again.